It is time for Minnesota Military Radio, brought to you in part by Cargill, providing food, agriculture, financial, and industrial products and services to the world. Cargill, helping the world thrive.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to visit with the Camp Ripley Garrison Commander, and we're going to have some folks in from the Commander's Task Force to talk about Veterans Day on the Hill. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Since the Revolutionary War and every conflict since, black service members have not only answered the call to serve, but have lifted the Star-Spangled Banner to great heights. Our flag is not one color, though the threads are made of the same fibers. Different colors intertwine to create a bold, vibrant symbol of inspiration for our nation. The Minnesota National Guard is much the same. The Guard finds its strength not only in its diversity, but in its ability to weave together people of different faiths, cultures, and races that share common threads, values, and love of service. In the National Guard, we continually strive to enlist men and women of all backgrounds. Our goal, to reflect Minnesota's diverse population in our ranks, is ever present. This is Black History Month. It's time for us to reflect and to celebrate those that paved the way toward diversity. A time to remember the black service members who stepped forward willingly to serve our country, to fight for our flag, even though our country wasn't willing to defend their rights. This is a time to appreciate diversity today.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is the Garrison Commander for Camp Ripley in northern Minnesota, Colonel Scott St. Sauver. Colonel, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, Tom. It's great to be back.
Colonel, you're one of our most frequent guests, and you have the privilege, or the honor maybe, to be in charge of one of the best training facilities in the country.
I certainly do. It is an honor to run the training site for the Minnesota National Guard up at Camp Ripley in central Minnesota, and I absolutely cherish my job every day.
Colonel, can you share with our listeners how long you've been in the military?
I've been in the military 36 years, going on 37, and I've been up at Camp Ripley as a commander, now going to be starting my seventh year.
Uh-oh, we're not supposed to tell anybody that, are we?
We're not supposed to tell them, but it's okay. I think they've probably figured it out by now that I've been up there a while.
And you actually started over in South Dakota?
I did. I started in the South Dakota National Guard in 1980, and I came to the Minnesota Guard in 1999.
And you've had a great run up at Camp Ripley, and you're actually the only full-time resident of the camp, aren't you?
I am, my wife and I, and it's a great backyard. 53,000 acres of beautiful Minnesota with the Mississippi River running down 18 miles of the side of it, and what a place. I don't have to mow. I can go out every day and see what's going on in nature, and I can watch all the training that's going on, and it's just, I can't imagine being anywhere else.
And, sir, I know you like to hunt and fish. Is there any of that available up there?
Well, there's a little bit. You bet there is. You know, as you well know, we're coming up on our spring turkey season right now with the disabled veterans. So we've got a lot going on. We're getting ready for the spring season, obviously, for our training season. But also those hunts and fishing are coming up, and we can't wait to get those going.
And, Colonel, it's a huge training facility. It's a state of Minnesota asset. And it's not only used by the Minnesota National Guard, but it's used by a lot of other agencies as well.
It is. It is. Actually, you know, we've got a lot of state agencies. In fact, our growth has really been on the state agency side. Everybody knows that we've trained a lot. We train soldiers up there from all over the region and all over the different states. But, you know, we have the DNR Enforcement Center up at Camp Ripley. They're a full-time occupant of Camp Ripley. The state Highway Patrol is at Camp Ripley. Homeland Security Emergency Management have an office up there. And more, MnDOT is with us pretty much permanently now, all the time up at Camp Ripley in one form or another. So a lot of state agency training occurring on a daily basis for all the state employees of Camp Ripley.
And one of the things people in Minnesota probably don't think about is winter in Minnesota, and therefore we get snow. But a lot of those MnDOT drivers were up there last fall practicing and learning how to reacquaint themselves with that equipment, weren't they?
One of my best events, honestly, Tom, it really is. I have loved that event since the day they brought it up over 10 years ago and said, we want to come up to to Camp Ripley in the fall and train all of our snowplow drivers. And me being a kind of naive when it came to how those jobs were about, I didn't realize that it was a part-time job in the wintertime. And if you live in Minnesota and you work for MnDOT, you're going to get your chance to drive snowplows. So it was really fascinating watching that first year unfold in front of me because they did everything I thought they'd do. They move sand around and they learn how to run those big wing blades. And they even took me through the course. But then they hit my signs, ran into my curbs. Heck, I even had one stuck in the front gate almost every year. But what's amazing about that training is that after that training's over and you're going down 494 in January when they're four abreast, as a Minnesotan with my grandkids strapped in the back of my car, what a value. They've all been trained and they know what they're doing. And they're great employees of the state of Minnesota.
Now, Colonel, did they let you climb up into the cab of one of those trucks?
I went through the driver's training course in one of those snowplows, and I will tell you that I passed. Not on the first time. Okay, I did mow down a couple cones, but hey.
But there's a lot of cameras in those cabs, aren't there?
Well, there's a lot of, I don't know if I ever saw any cameras, but there sure was a lot of cones outside the doors that I ran over.
Well, there's a lot of, I don't think I could run one of those, but they do a marvelous job.
And oh, they're fantastic.
What a great opportunity to have them do that up in northern Minnesota at Camp Ripley. Now, I know, sir, that you also have a lot of veteran service organizations come up there to hold various events.
We do all the time. You know, we're really an asset to the state of Minnesota in all areas to include veteran support. So obviously we have those veteran support organizations that are up there on a normal basis that are helping our veterans and our retired soldiers. But also, you know, I couldn't do a lot of the outdoor events, a lot of the outreach events, if it wasn't for all the veteran service orgs. And I'm talking about the American Legion and the DAV and the VFW and the Paralyzed Veterans. I mean, you name it, and those organizations are coming to help us with the things that we do. And, you know, some of the best events for our employees, our soldiers that are up there, is when they see veterans from any era, any service on Camp Ripley, whether it's just telling stories, whether it's running around, just looking at the site, or whether it's downrange hunting or fishing.
We're speaking to Colonel Scott St. Salver, the garrison commander from Camp Ripley on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, when you first took over as commander, did you realize you were going to be interacting with the State Patrol and the Veteran Service Organizations and MnDOT and all of these organizations?
No. I had worked up at Camp Ripley for quite a long time, but been involved on the training side for quite a long time. I never realized what an incredible opportunity it was to build relationships with your community and to build relationships with all the organizations that were available and to use Camp Ripley. So that was fascinating to me. And really, if you think about it, I'm really a mayor. I'm the same as a mayor would be of a town of about 5,000. That's what we have coming in and out and around the base every day. So getting out there and knowing my state legislators, getting out and knowing the community mayors and their city councils, the county representatives, the townships, they're all integral to our success at Camp Ripley as well as all our state agencies. So it's really been an honor.
And Colonel, we know there's a new Homeland Security facility up there, and they have training exercises up there as well, and they bring in sheriff's departments, they bring in police departments, and what Director Kelly tells us is by bringing all those people in from all over the state and meeting them face-to-face, when there is an emergency or something, state emergency, when the Guard's called up or the Homeland Security's called up, you know who you're dealing with.
Well, that's important in almost everything we do, right? And I absolutely concur with Director Kelly on that, is that you don't want to meet people after you have a problem. You want to build that relationship long before you ever have to do that. It doesn't matter if it's military or civilian, but in the state agency side especially, when you're bringing those county levels of government in, when you bring those small cities in, when we have a flood, when we have a natural emergency, whatever the case may be, now we don't have to introduce ourselves. We're already friends. We already know how they operate. And that facility itself brings all those elements together to keep us working together.
It makes everything work well when there is an emergency.
It certainly does.
Colonel, in the 7 years you've been there, has technology changed a lot up at Camp Ripley?
Yeah, it sure has. I mean, I tell people all the time, if you haven't seen Camp Ripley in the last year, you need to come back, because Camp Ripley has continued to evolve and will continue to evolve. And, of course, technology is a huge part of that. I mean, the things that these soldiers do now, when I look back at my career, I wouldn't have a clue how they're earning some of this stuff. So thank God for them. I mean, they are making us better every day.
Colonel, we have to take a short break. When I come back, I want to talk about the Norex exchange, and we want to talk a little bit more about what's coming up at Camp Ripley for 2017. We're speaking with Colonel Scott St. Sculver, the garrison commander from Camp Ripley on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting with the garrison commander from Camp Ripley, Colonel Scott St. Sculver. And, Colonel, we were talking about that fabulous training base that you've got up there in northern Minnesota. And one of the things that we had Colonel Interest on the show a couple of times last year, and he was talking about a huge training event out in California at the NTC. And he was telling us about the fact that when you loaded up all that equipment to take it out to the California desert, the train was like, if it was one train, it had been about 9 miles long. There were 87 aircraft full of soldiers flew out there, staged them out on the edge of the desert, and then off into the box they went, out into the desert for a couple of weeks of training. And by all reports that we've had, it was a fabulous event, and the readiness status of the 1st Brigade Combat Team was fantastic. But when that was over, they shipped all of that equipment back up to Camp Ripley, and I'm sure you had to get it ready for the next event coming up. How are your people doing up there on all that equipment?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. I mean, Colonel Lowell Cruz is the director of logistics for the Minnesota Guard, and him and his team are a big part of Camp Ripley, and bringing all that equipment back to Camp Ripley by train and offloading it. And I will tell you that they immediately got to work on refurbing it, getting it back ready for training this year, and all that equipment is ready to go. All that equipment is sitting up at Camp Ripley right now waiting for soldiers to start this next training year. In fact, they've already begun. So that is the amazing part for there's over 400 mechanics at Camp Ripley.
And that would be a big job to clean all that up after being out there.
I can't even imagine. Between the soldiers themselves that came up and supported that and Colonel Cruz's team and all of his mechanics, they do an amazing job keeping our equipment operational and ready for the next event.
So, Colonel, how's your schedule for this year? It seems like every time I talk to you, you've got a full schedule coming up.
And we do. We have another full schedule this year. We have units coming in from all over the United States. So we have an artillery battalion coming from Missouri this year, along with our own units as they get ready to. We have some number of railroads as we send some equipment over to Europe this summer. And we have Iowa and Ohio and North Dakota, Wisconsin, all South Dakota, all those same customers. So we're very busy. And it's a nice, steady flow. I don't ever want to tell my soldiers that we're too overworked. It's a nice, even flow.
Colonel, it sounds like you should have gone to school for hotel management, because you got all these people coming up there. You got to house them, you got to feed them, you got to supply them with gas and fuel and whatever else they need, and thousands of them every year.
I have a great team. I really do have a great team. And as I tell them every day, and they remind me, is that, you know, one piece can't operate alone. It's all of them together. I mean, you said it. You have to house them, you have to feed them, you have to get them to the field, you have to provide the resources they need to train. And that's some of that training's dangerous training, right? We train like we're going to fight. So that's live fire training. It's the one place in Minnesota where we bring all of our weapon systems to bear, and we do it safely every year. And so I'm so very proud of my team up there and the ability they have to work with the units and to get everybody in off the range with zero incidents. And hopefully we continue that trend, because they're very, very good at what they do.
It's really like a small city, because you got to handle the garbage, you got to take care of the streets, you got to plow the streets, you got to do all the things that any city would do, supply the food and all those things. And I understand that you've got a new facility there for some solar power that had a little damage during a tornado.
It did. It did. You know, we had a tornado last fall, which was the first time that's occurred on Camp Ripley. And it actually picked up a couple buildings and threw them into our brand new solar field. But you know what? It was amazing watching that partnership as well, because Minnesota Power operates that facility, and they came in and had those solar fields up, and it's generating power today and has been all winter long, and it's doing very, very well. And it's allowed us some interdependent to get off of some of the grid, and we're using up to 30% of our power is being generated by that solar field. So that's a very, very important thing when it comes to alternative energy. And on the 13th of April this year, we're actually going to do the actual dedication. We had planned on doing it last fall, but we had that little tornado get in the way.
Sure. Colonel, I understand the long-term plan is for Camp Ripley to be as self-sufficient as possible.
Yeah, we'd really like to be net zero. And my partner over there at the construction facilities management, Lieutenant Colonel Sol Sukit. His team does a great job, and they're continuing to move us towards net zero, and I fully support that, as do my soldiers. So we're into everything from solid waste replacement and recycling all the way up to solar generation and power grids and things I don't even understand. You know, I'm one of these guys, Tom. You know, when you turn the light on, it's supposed to work. I often don't question how the power got to the light, but I'm seeing it all over Camp Ripley.
And if it doesn't work, you've got the guys to fix it and gals.
We sure do.
That's pretty good, sir. Colonel, one of the things we wanted to talk about today was the Norway Exchange Program. And I understand that this is the oldest exchange of military, the Home Guard in Norway, and soldiers and airmen from the Minnesota National Guard that the United States has.
Yeah, 44th continuous year. The longest exchange between a state and a nation in the Department of Defense. And it was started in 1974 on a handshake at Valhalla between our adjutant general at the time and the Home Guard general from Norway. And it's continued every year since.
So can you describe it for me? What actually happens every year?
Well, you know, for many, many years, it was a winter exchange. It was an exchange of our Nordic history and our Scandinavian history between the two countries, the country and the state, and it was really cultural and training. But over the last 10 years, it's really changed dramatically in that now we rotate between the winter and the summer, and we've changed the way we train. So a lot of the training we're doing nowadays has to do with domestic operations, working with our law enforcement, interagency partnerships with our law enforcement people and how to react to natural disaster or domestic terrorism. And it's really set us up for success when you can work with a foreign nation to do those tasks together. This year, for the first time, we're actually going to integrate our squads. We'll have U.S. soldiers, Norwegian soldiers, and law enforcement in the same squads. So you have to deal with the language barrier. You have to deal with the interactions between the teams and how they do business. And it's just a great training event for everybody.
We're speaking with Colonel Scott St. Sauer on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Colonel, we're talking about the Norway Exchange. It's coming up here this week. And I understand we send 100 soldiers and airmen over to Norway, and they send 100 Home Guard up to Camp Ripley. And so there's training going on both sides of the deal. Can you tell us what the Home Guard's going to experience, and then what are our soldiers and airmen going to experience over in Norway this year?
Sure. So on our side, 30 of those soldiers will be new conscripts into the Norwegian military. So they'll be their first, for most of those kids, it'll be their first trip to the United States. And they come to Minnesota and they come to Camp Ripley. So their first experience with the military will be Camp Ripley and training with us. And so we make them feel good about who they are and the soldiers and then how they can interact. We'll also have 60 professional soldiers, and they'll do as I indicated. They will be doing interagency operations with our soldiers and our law enforcement. Our team in Norway will be dropped into the facilities and over there. They'll do a lot of work in the mountains. You know, the Norwegians were born with skis on their feet, I think. And so they'll be doing a lot of skiing, a lot of ski joring up in the mountains and things like that. So it'll be very, very challenging for them because we are not born on skis. And in many cases, our soldiers, you know, even though we're winter people, we're used to the outside, we've kind of lost some of those winter skills. So when they go to Norway, they will be tested.
Not
up in
only,
those mountains.
Not only with skis, but I understand they're going to sleep out in tents, and some might sleep out in snow caves.
Snow caves. They'll dig into the side of the top of the mountains, and they'll dig into snow caves and actually do survival training there. They'll live a little bit off the land. They'll ski jure. They'll snowshoe. They'll be very busy.
Sir, have you been over there and experienced that?
I have. I have indeed.
So our soldiers,
more than once.
Our soldiers and airmen are up for a treat.
They are, and they do a great job. And there's, you know, those soldiers are picked from the units to be able to go over and participate in that. They represent the Minnesota National Guard very, very well. And they'll be in the Camp Varnes Trondheim area of Norway and then on up into the mountains. And so they will get an experience of their life.
And we'll be there to report on it this year because in 2 weeks we'll have a show that we'll play back from Trondheim because we're going to go over there. Colonel, I'm not sleeping in a snow cave, but we maybe put Sergeant Angelo out one night.
Well, I would expect to see a picture of you, you know, on your skis behind maybe a snowmobile or something, you know. And
isn't
then
there
just
an age restriction on some of that, sir?
Oh, I don't think there should be.
Colonel, it's going to be a great event, and we're looking forward to that. And appreciate you coming in today. We've got about a minute left. You had a great career in the military, for our young people out there listening today on 38 stations all over Minnesota, what would you tell them if they were considering a career in the Minnesota National Guard?
Now is the time to join. I can't tell you. You know, when I joined in 1980, honestly, it was for the school benefits at the time, and that's really why I joined. But it was so quickly clear to me that it was what I love to do. It's a family. The one thing that I'll always be proud of every day is everyone I've worked around, and you'll never have a family like you do in the military. It takes a village, they say, and all of those kids and all of those mentors I've had over the years, I'd have never had the opportunities I had today had it not been for the South Dakota Guard and then the Minnesota National Guard and everything they've done for me. It's just the best organization you could ever belong to.
Colonel, appreciate you coming down and visiting with us in the studio again today. That was Colonel Scott St. Salver, the garrison commander from Camp Ripley on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to visit with the Commander's Task Force about Veterans Day on the Hill. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In this segment, we're going to meet with the two members of the Commander's Task Force about Veterans Day on the Hill. And I want to talk a little bit about the Commander's Task Force. It's made up of 9 veterans service organizations here in Minnesota, which include the American Legion, AMVETS, Disabled American Veterans, Jewish War Veterans, Marine Corps League, Military Order of the Purple Heart, Paralyzed Veterans of Minnesota, Veterans of Foreign Wars, and the Vietnam Veterans of America. And joining me now is the chair of the Commander's Task Force, Denise Milton. Denise, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me back, Tom.
And Denise, you are this year the department commander for the American Legion in Minnesota.
Yes.
And as part of the Commander's Task Force, you were, I understand last time you were here, you were kind of railroaded into being the chairperson.
Well, I was excited about doing it as well.
So you volunteered.
Admit to it. Yeah.
You volunteered. Well, you brought along an old friend of ours because we have a former department commander, Peggy Moon, who is now the legislative chair for the American Legion. Peggy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Tom. It is great to be here.
I thought you were going to take it easy after you were the commander, but yet now you're being the legislative chair and you're busier than ever.
Well, that's right. And my husband is happy that I'm on the road, so keeps me out of trouble.
On the road again. Here
yes.
we go.
Yes.
So we have the two ladies in here today, and what we want to talk about, Denise, was the Commander's Task Force. And maybe we should just start with, what's the mission of the Commander's Task Force? What are the things that you work on with these other organizations?
Our main goal is that we present a unified front when we go to legislation so that we all are working on, we agree on certain subjects that we want to bring forward to legislation that's important for veterans.
So you pool the membership of all those organizations.
Correct.
And you go up to the Hill and you talk to the state legislators about a list of things that you've all agreed on that you want to work on this year.
Correct.
And we're coming up soon. We're going to have a day that's called Veterans Day on the Hill. And can you tell us, do you know the date?
20th of March.
20th of March.
10 a.m. We'll be starting in the Rotunda.
And that's the day where we want all the veterans in Minnesota that can get there to come on down and wear your veteran organization's hats and your pins and
correct.
And get together and let's talk to those state legislators about the things that we're going to cover here in a minute.
That's right. Yep. We want them to make appointments and go see their legislatures.
Okay, so Peggy Moon, the legislative director, says get down here and make appointments and then...
You know, it's too often many of us in a statewide organization rely on those people that live in the metro area because they're close to the Capitol to take care of our legislative needs. But we have representatives and senators from all over the state, and every one of those people need to be contacted with those issues that affect veterans. So that's why I always tell everybody, bring everybody that you can from as many different districts as you can to come on down and join us for Veterans Day on the Hill.
And ladies, we're heard on 39 stations all over Minnesota now. So Peggy, when you're telling them, get in the car and come on down.
Get in the car and come on down. I'll be there.
For our listeners, you better get in the car. I wouldn't want to disappoint Peggy.
For those that do not want to get in their own car, the DVA, again, will be organizing routes for buses throughout the state.
The disabled veterans?
Yes. No.
Okay.
Yeah, the DAV is. DAV. But any veteran who wants to come down for Veterans on the Hill can ride that bus.
All right. So Veterans
no excuse.
Day. Veterans Day on the Hill. Denise, you've got the Commander's Task Force has put together a 2017 legislative agenda. And these are the items that that you want to work on this year?
That's correct.
What's the first one we want to talk about, Denise?
Our first one is the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs Budget and Capital Investing Funding. Want to make sure that our Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is well-funded for their operation budget requests. Also, one of our biggest one is funding for that bridge that is the passage to our Minneapolis Veterans Home.
The bridge has been closed for a couple of years,
yes,
so there's only one entrance in and out, and it's kind of dangerous.
Too lane and narrow.
So we need somebody to take ownership of that and see if we can't get that repaired.
Correct.
Most definitely. That's an important one.
Peggy, what's the next item we want to talk about?
Well, this one's important, Tom, to a lot of the people that we have as veterans. Currently, if you're 100% disabled, you get free hunting, trapping, and fishing licenses. And we are working with the Department of Natural Resources, mm-hmm. the DNR. In fact, they came to one of our recent CTF yes. meetings to reduce that down to the 50% disability rate, which we think is would be absolutely fantastic because being outside in Minnesota, in our environment, is just so recuperative for people.
Makes our disabled veterans feel a lot better if they
exactly.
can get
outside. Exactly. The more time you can spend outside and enjoying our wonderful weather and our nature, you know, it's better for all of us. So we're working with them to see if we can't get that accomplished. So if you're 50% or more disabled, you'll be able to get some free licenses.
Great idea. We're talking to Denise Milton and Peggy Moon from the American Legion about the Commander's Task Force 2017 Legislative Agenda on Minnesota Military Radio. And Denise, you've got another item here. It says permanent homestead market value exclusion for surviving spouses. So what's that about?
Currently, we have one already on the books for those of spouses for surviving for 8 years. They're allowed to have exclusion of property taxes. We are seeking to get that for an indefinite, there would be no deadline, no 1 year, 2 year, 5 year, 8 year would be for as long as that widow was living and remained in her home unmarried.
So currently the law says that if a veteran is 70% or more service-connected disabled, they get a tax break on their homestead.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
But when they die, there's a limitation.
Sunset of 8 years right now. We would like to change that.
And the spouse usually doesn't get a raise after 8 years. So
no, in fact, probably less.
Be a good idea to extend that so it works. Peggy, what's the next item?
Well, let's go down to, I want to mention this disclosure statement because I believe that this came out of Veterans Day on the Hill a couple years ago, or maybe even last year. Somebody from Southern Minnesota made an appointment at Veterans Day on the Hill, talked to their legislator, and this was their concern. And now, today, it's a bill that the CTF is supporting. But what this is if you go to a professional person in your area to get help with a disability claim or seeking various benefits from the Department of Veterans Affairs, they have to have you sign an agreement saying that you are aware that these services are free from your county veteran service officers. Because a lot of people out there, believe it or not, don't know that this is available for your charge. And they end up going to maybe an attorney to try to get a disability rating or through somebody else that advertises that they can get you a rating or they can get you benefits, and they charge them quite a bit of money.
So this would be a way just to remind them that they could get that stuff for
that,
free.
In Minnesota, we have county veteran service officers, and that's their job, and they do an incredible job at it. They are very, very good, and we want our veterans to use them.
Yes, ma'am. Denise, we got about a minute left. Is there another one you want to talk about?
Tuition assistance for the 100% service-connected disabled veterans. We also want to expand that to include those that are for apprenticeships and on-the-job training.
So we want to expand tuition assistance.
Correct.
For service-connected disabled veterans. Well, that certainly sounds like a great item. Ladies, we're out of time for this third segment. Please stay with us. We're talking to Denise Milton and Peggy Moon about Minnesota Commander's Task Force 2017 Legislative Agenda. We'll be back in just a moment to give you a few more items. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to talk a little bit more about Veterans Day on the Hill, but first it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
America's veterans are some of our nation's bravest, hardest-working men and women. However, it's hard to show them the appreciation they deserve. Back home and out of uniform, they are more camouflaged than ever. Greenlight a Vet is a campaign to establish visible national support for our veterans by changing one light to green. Green is the color of hope, renewal, and well-being. Consider changing one light to green in a visible location on your porch, in your home, or at your office, and keep it glowing every day as a symbol of appreciation and support to our veterans. Then, share your support by taking a picture of your green light and posting it on Twitter using the hashtag #GreenLightAVet.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. We've been speaking with Denise Milton, who's the department commander of the American Legion here in Minnesota, and Peggy Moon, past department commander and legislative chair. And we've been talking about Vets Day on the Hill. And Peggy, a good message there from Commissioner Shalito, one of your best friends, isn't he?
Yes, I like the commissioner.
Does a nice job, and
he does a great job, and he's a very friendly person.
And he works real closely with the commander's task force, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He calls the commander's task force his board of directors.
Yeah, and I think he loves going to those meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Peggy, Veterans Day on the Hill, can you tell us again when, where, how, and who?
Okay, well, I want to invite everybody to come down to Veterans Day on the Hill, which is scheduled for Monday, March 20th, 2017. We will start at 10 o'clock in the morning in the Capitol Rotunda. Yes, we're back in the Capitol after, 2 years where we've had to meet at the Armory. The Capitol has been remodeled, and we're ready to show everybody who we are. We will have a rally that will get everybody excited and get them all worked up from 10 to 11. At 11, we let you go visit your legislators, both in the state office building and in the Senate building. And then at 1 o'clock, if you so desire, we invite everybody to come over to the Veterans Affairs Division meeting in the House, which is chaired by Representative Bob Detmer, and that meeting starts at 1, lasts until about 2:45, and you'll hear some veterans' bills as they go before your representatives and see how the whole thing works.
So great come down and see me. Great opportunity to come down and see the remodeled Capitol building.
Yes, that too.
And work with the Commander's Task Force on their legislative agenda. And you'd recommend
that anything else that you have on your mind, I'm sure your representative would love to hear about it.
And you'd recommend that they make an appointment with their representative before they come down.
Most definitely.
So let's fill up that rotunda and show everybody what it looks like.
Let's be loud and proud.
Denise, now you're going to be there that day too.
Yes, I will be.
I'd let Peggy lead the way. She's
I know, she's always fired up and excited.
She is. Denise, we have a 2017 legislative agenda that the Commander's Task Force has put together. Now, is this available to the public? Can they find this somewhere?
Yes, they should. Well, all of our representatives and senators do have a copy of those. We will also be handing them out to most of our veteran, Legion, VFW member, anyone that belongs to a VSO.
Any veterans that want to come can come to the Veterans
Correct.
Day on the Hill.
Correct, anyone. And you can go online, too, I believe, to MNDVA, and they're available.
Okay, so look that over. Now, we're just about out of time, but I think you had one more legislative item that you wanted to talk about.
Yes, that's the modification of our tax treatment for VA Medical Foster Home Program caregivers. This is a relatively new program that the VA has instituted. It's for veterans who are just not capable of living on their own, may not have extended family or even family members, but by having these foster homes in place, they are able to live in a home on a more personal level, and they actually do much better living in a home than they do a veteran's home or a nursing home. And foster homes cost considerably less than being in a nursing home.
So we want to do a little fine-tuning to that program.
Correct.
And make sure
they're
that
not
that
getting
works.
Enough. Those that do have the foster homes are not getting the tax credits that they deserve.
Okay, that's another great item. We've got about 30 seconds left, and I want to challenge Peggy one more time. Veterans Day on the Hill. When and where?
Come on down Monday, March 20th, 2017. Meet me in the Capitol Rotunda. Make an appointment with your legislators and then join me for a Representative Detmer's meeting. How's that, Tom? You going to be there?
You know, former commander of the American Legion, I don't know how Bart McC- I don't know how I could. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We'll get everybody down there. We can get there.
Okay.
And once more, if you go to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs website, you can pick up a copy of the legislative agenda. Ladies, thanks for joining us again on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
And thank you, Tom.
Denise Milton and Peggy Moon from the Commander's Task Force and the American Legion. A current department commander and a past department commander, and when Peggy says show up, you better get there. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is the senior enlisted advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hello, Tom. Great to be with you again. Thank you very much.
Sergeant Major, we're always talking about you traveling around the country and out of the country and all of the things you're doing, but it looks like we're going to be traveling with Minnesota Military Radio going over to partake of the Norway Exchange.
Yeah, you know, I know you just had a big segment of the NOREX, the Norwegian Exchange, with Colonel Scott St. Sauver, and it's always great to get the opportunity to travel and actually see our soldiers and our airmen in training. So this year, I'll get my my first opportunity to travel with General Nash to go over and visit our fine Minnesota National Guard soldiers and airmen. And unfortunately, it sounds like you and I are going to be crossing paths in the air. I'm landing, and you guys are already on the road coming back home, which is unfortunate.
Well, the good part, Sergeant Major, is not only are we taking the Minnesota Military Radio over there, but we're taking the morning show from Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, Justice and Drew with us. Andrew Lee and John Justice and Miss Sam Sansevier are all going over, and on Monday the 13th and Tuesday the 14th, they'll be sending their show back live here in Minneapolis to be heard from 6 to 9 a.m. on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, and we'll be recording our show over there and play that the following weekend, and I hope to see some of our soldiers and airmen on skis and see the tents and the snow caves they're sleeping out in and learn a lot about the winter training they'll be doing with the Norwegian Home Guard.
I bet you that they will be very excited to share some of those experiences with you. Just make sure that you bring your long underwear because I hear the temperature can be a little bit cold at times over there.
Well, we'll see. We'll be careful to bring along whatever we need, and if we need something else, I'm sure they'll throw us an extra coat.
I bet you they will. And, you know, I just have to say, what a great opportunity to allow the show to travel. And, you know, we just really appreciate the support, obviously, from Minnesota Military Radio and iHeartMedia. And it's great. And I know that the team on the other side is looking forward to hosting you and providing you guys everything that you need to make sure it's a successful radio broadcast.
Well, we're looking forward to telling those stories over there like we have for 6.5 years, and we're heard now on 38 stations all over Minnesota, and we'll give them all a little taste of Norway. Sergeant Major, I understand you just wrapped up your Joint Senior Enlisted Leaders Conference this past weekend, an event to gather all of your senior NCOs together, and since it says joint, I'm assuming that means soldiers and airmen again.
Yeah, that's right. It's an annual event where I try to get in all of my senior non-commissioned officers, generally our first sergeants and above. And this is where we come together and we talk about the organizational priorities and kind of just set the stage for the following year, talk about the initiatives and things that we need to work on to make our environment better for all of our soldiers and airmen across our National Guard.
And I noticed that you posted quite a few pictures of that on your Facebook page. So if our listeners want to go take a look at that, just go on Facebook and look up Doug Wortham, and you'll see some pictures of all those senior NCOs in their classrooms and exchanging ideas, probably best practices, and focusing on the agenda from the Adjutant General.
Yep, you're absolutely right. CSM Wortham is on the Facebook, and you'll probably see some some pictures where it looks like we're having a lot of fun. And that, and of course we were, but we were working hard too and participating in some good team building type exercises.
And Sergeant Major, I know that you've been working hard with the recruiters, and I think you've got a clip for us.
I do. And, you know, it's the In Their Own Words segment. And this time around, we're going to hear from Private Preston Thunder. He's a member of our Brigade Support Battalion out in Bloomington. He's a 92 Alpha, which is a tool and parts or automated logistical specialist. And in his own words, telling us why he joined the Minnesota National Guard.
I joined the Minnesota Army National Guard to better myself as a man and to prepare myself in a career in nursing and to help others around me.
Sergeant Major, you've got a lot of new recruits that you've been talking to lately, and I hope you're keeping up with the demand and filling all the spots.
We're doing the best we can, and you know Colonel Pasternak and his team, they do an outstanding job filling us up where we need the our new recruits to come in.
And we'll be visiting with him up at Craigan's the first weekend in March for another live show to see what the recruiting and retention battalion's been about, and we're looking forward to that, sir.
And they're looking forward to hosting you again. 2 or 3 years in a row now it is, I think. So it's always a great opportunity.
Sergeant Major, thanks for joining us today.
Tom, have a great day, and it's great to be with you once again. Take care.
Thank you, sir. That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Colonel Scott St. Salver, Denise Milton, Peggy Moon, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Shelledo of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about the Paralyzed Veterans of America and get an update for military retirees. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.